Man, turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. This will probably be the most familiar minor prophet that we study. And so we won't take a whole lot of time, as much time tonight. I won't need as much time. And we won't talk as much probably tonight about Jonah. And we understand that Jonah ran from the Lord. And that was certainly probably the biggest subject found in this book. Is you shouldn't run from the Lord. Amen. If you run from the Lord, bad things happen. And we want to stay in the will of God. So we all understand that particular theme that runs throughout the book of Jonah. And it's a very important theme. But tonight especially, I want to talk about God's mercy. God's mercy found in this great book. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down, got to unlearn the word down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we again come to you tonight thanking you for the opportunity to meet together in your house. We thank you for church family. What a blessing it is to come out and meet amongst friends and to gather around the Word of God, to hear it proclaimed. We do pray tonight we'd be with those who are sick and out and those traveling tonight. We think about Brother Hokett traveling from Oklahoma. Lord, that you would just be with him, give him traveling mercies, be with Brother Day as he travels tomorrow. God, you just have your will and way tonight. Help us as we think about your mercy. Help us to see your mercy in a greater light tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah is known as the runaway prophet as he ran away from the Lord and what God had asked him to do. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom. Now again, we won't go through and do the history again, but when Solomon died and his son took over, the kingdom split into two kingdoms. And now you had two countries, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so Jonah was a prophet to that northern kingdom that called Israel. So in your Kings and in the Chronicles, also in most of the prophets, you'll see referred to the northern kingdom referred to as Israel and the southern kingdom referred to as Judah. And those are the separate names. So here was Jonah preaching to this northern kingdom. But the book concerns primarily his ministry to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It was a great city. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Now, Jonah did not run from a place. Jonah ran from a person. Amen? Look there. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He fled from the presence of the Lord. I am telling you tonight again, I want to remain in the presence of the Lord. I want to remain and I want to be in His will where He has asked me to be. And I want to be not only in His permissive will, I want to be in His perfect will. And I'm glad He has a permissive will. In other words, sometimes He just lets us kind of get off kilter a little bit, but He still loves us and cares for us. But I want to be in His perfect will. Now, understand that Jonah wasn't in His permissive will either. Jonah wasn't in his will at all. He adamantly turned and ran the opposite way from what God asked him to do. Boy, we need to be careful of that. Not run away from God. Amen. God's called you to do something, you better do it. You wind up in Jonah's position. Again, Jonah is ministering about 50 or 60 years before that northern kingdom is carried away into captivity by the Syrians. Who is he going to preach to? He's going to the Syrians to preach to them. You know, this is one thing as I was studying that I just never really thought about it this way. And John Phillips, whom I love, commentator, he put it this way. He said, you know, we don't give Jonah enough credit. Think about this for a moment. Jonah was watching the northern kingdom as it was being put under the bondage of the Assyrians. In other words, the northern kingdom was having to pay tribute to the northern kingdom up to a point. And when Jeroboam II came into power during the time of Jonah, Jeroboam actually did defeat the Assyrians in certain spots, and Jeroboam brought them back out from underneath that bondage. But understand this, the Assyrians were Israel's enemies. And so God is asking Jonah to go preach to the Assyrians. And anybody with a prophet or preacher with any unction and any understanding of the Bible understood and knew that God was going to judge Israel for their sins. And no doubt, as Jonah looked up to that Assyrian kingdom, it's very, very powerful. Nineveh would have been a city of over 1 million people. 1 million people, 60 miles in circumference. You had to go 60 miles to get all the way around this great city. And that was just around the city. It had suburbs. Would have taken 3 days to walk around the city. Great, huge walls that many chariots would go around. This is a magnificent, huge city. Very powerful nation. And no doubt Jonah's sitting around thinking as God is telling him to go to Nineveh, he's saying, you know, God is going to judge Israel. I bet that he uses the Assyrians to do it. And he does eventually. He uses the Assyrians to judge Israel. And so instead of helping the enemy, he said, I'm just going to run the opposite way. Do you ever think about it maybe that way? Jonah was trying to be a patriot. Just an angle, you know, a thought. No matter his motivation, you never run from God. God tells you to do something, you do it. Amen? But maybe Jonah was. Maybe his thought was that, and number one, his thought was, I'm not going to go preach to our enemies. And number two, God is going to judge Israel. And 50 or 60 years later, he uses the Assyrians to do it. Okay? This great, great city. If we had a theme for this book, it would be the mercy of God. And as I was looking at it the last couple of days, I was again thinking upon the subject of how great and merciful our God is. This book is about more than just a boat, a storm, a fish, a gourd, and a worm. It really gives us a twofold picture of the mercy of God. Twofold picture of the mercy of God. By the way, this great book tells us of God's missionary heart. You can preach missions out of this book. Jonah goes to the mission field. In fact, he's the first prophet per se sent to someone other than the Jews to preach to them. So number one, we see God's mercy on repenting sinners. God's mercy on repenting sinners. We think again about the city of Nineveh. This great city, the Bible describes it there in verse 2. Great in size, but the Bible says great in sinfulness. They were wicked. Wicked. In fact, their wickedness had come up before God. And God basically says to Jonah, go and testify, go tell Nineveh that in 40 days they will be taken captive. They had 40 days before God would lay them waste. And God was tired, sick and tired of their sins. Now, God could have just allowed them to be captured and done and destroyed. But instead, he has mercy upon them and sends a preacher. He says to Jonah, go up and preach to them. Go up and prophesy to them, to this great city, this wicked city. But Jonah rose up and fled the opposite way. God honored their repentance. We know that in chapter 2, we have Jonah's prayer, number 1. But look at Jonah chapter 2. Look with me at verse 4. It says, then I said, I am cast out of the sight. No, hang on. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. And Jonah's prayer here, he's praying while he's in the belly of the well. Jonah chapter 2. I'm written down a wrong reference, I believe. Look down with me at verse 10. Y'all, the very familiar passage there. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord, chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into that city a day's journey. I always love that. It should have taken him 3, but he made it 1. Right? If I'd have just been swallowed by a whale and lived in the whale for 3 days, it would motivate me to run real fast as well. So now, he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh what? Believed God. You ought to circle that in your Bible. People of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king, Nineveh, the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and satin ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. So he says to them, no one's to eat or drink, not even the animals. In fact, you're going to go out and you're going to take your donkey and you're going to put ashes all over your donkey. Be like, what in the world? Anyway. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell, verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Man. God honored their repentance and had mercy on the worst of sinners. On the worst of sinners. I always think, when I think of mercy, I think of when God told Abraham. And God told Abraham, he said to him, that your future seed will be carried into, he didn't say captivity, but will go into a country where they're not from, and they're going to be there for 400 years. Genesis chapter 15. He tells Abraham, your generation, your future seed is going to go into a country that they're not a part of and be there 400 years. And Israel did. They went into Egypt and were there 400 years. Why? You know what God's explanation was? The times of the Canaanites is not yet full. The time of the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the Ite brothers that live in Canaan land. In other words, what he's saying there, and he says it in the New Testament as well, he says that God was merciful to them. And God was still wanting them, as Nineveh did here, to repent and to turn. In fact, if you go read in 1 Peter, it says in the days of Noah that God was long-suffering and was patient and waited in the days of Noah, praying that those being merciful and praying that they would turn and repent and get right. So not only in Abraham's day was he merciful with the Canaanites and all those Amorites, but he was merciful with those in the days of Noah, wanting them to turn and get right. You understand tonight that God is not satisfied and doesn't get satisfaction from people burning in hell. He isn't stepping over hell right now and, oh, that's good. No. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People dying, going to hell, and that burning for all eternity doesn't satisfy the wrath of God. It doesn't appease the wrath of God. The only person who ever satisfied the wrath of God was Jesus Christ on Calvary. Amen? If eternal punishment would satisfy the wrath of God, it'd just send us all there. It doesn't satisfy the wrath of God. The hell was made for the devil and his angels. Amen? Right? God is merciful. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is merciful. He does not want to give us what we deserve. I'm so glad he's merciful to me. I deserved hell for my sins. I deserve to be punished throughout all eternity. I put him on the cross. I put his son on the cross. But he's so merciful to us. And so loving and gracious and kind. Merciful. Not giving us what we deserve. Amen. Here was this great city. Not a Jewish city, mind you. Not underneath King Joash or King Hezekiah or under one of the great kings of the southern kingdom. But here was a city that was Gentile, that was wicked. In fact, he said, the wickedness has come up before me. And instead of just writing them off, God says, I'm going to send them a preacher. And he goes to Jonah and says, you're going to go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah's like, no, I'm not. And he goes the other way. But God was merciful to Nineveh. Amen? I'm glad that God has a broad tent. He's not, again, no respecter of persons. Even in the Old Testament, God never meant for just Jew to go to heaven in the Old Testament, but strangers as well. He calls them strangers. Those outside, if you would, the temple gate. He was wanting Israel again to bring all those and testify and before the Lord and testify them about the Lord. Amen? Merciful. Our God is merciful. God's merciful to those around us. Amen. God's being merciful to America right now. Merciful. God's mercy on repenting sinners. They repented, they got right, and God says there, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. By the way, He had made that promise to others. He had made that promise to Israel. If you'll get right, if you'll repent, turn from your ways, I'll heal your land. Amen. And they repented, they turned from their ways, and God healed their land. What a great, great story. God's love was extended to all people. Again, not just Israel, but to all people. Showing again God's missionary heart. God has a great, great heart for all the world. Jonah is the first foreign missionary sent from Israel. Again, look at chapter 2, verse 9. And I meant to read that one. Look at chapter 2, verse 9, it says. Again, in Jonah's prayer during his time in the belly of the whale, he says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation, notice this, salvation is of the Lord. You ought to underline that statement. Salvation is of the Lord. During Jonah's time in the belly of the whale, and I do believe that he died in the belly of the whale. It basically alludes to that. As he is in the process of dying, or whatever the case is, he prays this prayer in chapter 2. And there in verse 9, it says he does make a vow. I think his vow was something like this. Lord, if you'll get me out of the belly of the whale, I'll serve you. You think that's what his vow was? Absolutely. And he comes out of that belly of the whale, and he takes off running to Nineveh. Secondly, not only do we see God's mercy on repenting sinners, such as the city of Nineveh, but we see God's mercy on a rebelling saint, Jonah. God's mercy on Nineveh, then God's mercy on the rebelling saint. The fish was not sent to punish Jonah, but to preserve him, to bring him back to God. There it says in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And Jonah prayed. It says in the belly of hell, he cried out. And just imagine being in the belly of the whale. What a time. It says there in that prayer, he says he was surrounded by seaweed and it was all around him. And no doubt he lived a while in there before he died. And he surely got a taste of it. In fact, there's a historical reference to a man who was swallowed by a whale who lived for a day and a half and was found and was cut out of the well and lived. Pretty well bleached. The man testified and said that, while he was in the belly of that well, that he could breathe okay, but it was just so hot that he couldn't stand it. So there is some reference or some testimony that a person could live in the belly of a well. And maybe Jonah did for those 3 days. We don't know. But, man, just imagine, when Jonah was vomited out of the belly of that well in verse 10, he would have looked like a ghost. I mean, he's been in the stomach of a whale with all that acid. I mean, he would have been bleached. No doubt. Coming out of that thing, running. When he came into that city, you think people would have listened to him? He looked kind of funny. And they could tell something happened to him. And he began to preach to them. God preserved Jonah's life. Again, back to the commentator, Brother John Phillips, who's just a fine writer. And he says, now, if Jonah was trying to be a patriot here, Jonah was basically seeking to die because Jonah knew that if he didn't die, he'd go up there and preach and God would forgive him. In fact, he says so in chapter 4. He says, God, I knew. Let's look at that. Let me find the reference real quick. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 80,000 persons that can discern between the right hand and the left hand as much cattle? That's not the verse I was looking for. Chapter 4, verse 2. That's a good verse, by the way, the one we just read. It's the actual conclusion of my message. But I got 7 minutes to finish. Chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, I knew what you would do. Jonah knew. By the way, he knew the scriptures. God had said if a nation repented, he would forgive them. And Jonah didn't want Nineveh to get right with God and be forgiven. Amen? Is that what it says? Yeah, he didn't want to be forgiven. That was Israel's enemy. And plus, again, Jonah knew that judgment was coming upon Israel at some point, and God may use the Assyrians to do it. If I go up there and preach and they get right with God and God forgives them and spares them, they may be the one that judges Israel. Amen. I love that. God, I knew you were a gracious God and you'd forgive them. That's the God we serve. Amen. Ain't that great? Again, God is merciful not only to Nineveh but to Jonah. Over and over again, God in His mercy worked in the life of His unwilling child. I mean, you know, he goes and he preaches, and the city gets right with God, and then Jonah gets angry with God. And like I said, verse 2, he's like, I knew this was what's going to happen. I knew you're going to forgive him. And he was mad. He was mad about it. So what did he do? He went without the gates of the city. He sat down and just sulked. And the Bible says that God let a gourd, a plant, grow up to shade him. But during the night, a worm came and killed the plant, and the plant died. No, Jonah's like, what? Then a wind began to blow, and it got hot. And I'm just telling you, God was just slapping him around. So, you know, but spared him, amen? Merciful to him. God prepared four things. He prepared a great fish, a gourd, and a worm, and a wind to work with Jonah. By the way, all creation obeys God. Whether it's a fish, the New Testament tells us it was a whale. Whether it's a gourd, whether it's the wind, whether it's a worm, they must obey His will. Again, Jonah got more upset about a loss of a shrub than he did the loss of 1 million people who were going to die and go to hell. He got more upset about a gourd, a shrub, than he did the loss of 1 million people who were going to die and go to hell. I know people who'd spend more time in their yard than they do witnessing to people. Some of us could be guilty of that. More concerned of how our yard looks rather than our next door neighbor's soul. I read that very last part. Says there, you say, well, how do you know there was 1 million people there? Look at the verse 11 in chapter 4, and it says, I have spared Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 80,000 persons, 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. He's talking about children who have not come to the age yet who know their left from their right hand. There was 120,000 of them in that city. So shouldn't he be more concerned about the 120,000 children? Amen? In America, we have millions and millions of kids that have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In America, I told you, you heard Brother Ellis testify that he found a young man right over here in Roanoke who had never heard the name Jesus and or knew who Jesus was, didn't know who he was. That's the age which we live in. Listen tonight, we must understand that God is merciful. He forgave Nineveh, and when they repented, and so will God forgive our nation. Man, I pray for revival. We want to see revival in America, and that America would turn back to God. But God is also merciful to rebelling saints, and that He was merciful to Jonah. And then we see Jonah is the only prophet in the Old Testament to whom Christ likened Himself personally. Remember in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man. I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So he, not only did he give credit and historical credit to Jonah as being a real person, but he also compared himself to Jonah. And as Jonah was in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights, so Jesus Christ was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Amen? So Jonah was a sign. That's what Jesus said. He was a sign of what Jesus Christ would experience. But I'm glad the third day he arose. Just like Jonah was spit out of that whale, so Christ was, if you would, spit out and rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Have a time of invitation.